Hi, this is Brian, and this is Spanish History 101 by Brian Spain Domain, and this is episode 18, the 10th century, by itself. Now, we've talked a little about the kingdoms and the major regions in Spain that got their start during this period. At least we mentioned them so people had a better idea of what was going on and what I was talking about. When I mention them, it's tough enough as it is to follow Spanish history, but a lot tougher if you don't even know what and where these places are. And if you still don't, all right, I suggest you rewind to our previous podcast from this series, episode 17, before you go on, and that should help. Anyway, during the 10th century, the Reconquista, or the Reconquest, began to start rolling again. It started back in the early 8th century, around 718 or 721, and it developed pretty quickly under Asturias, and then for a while, it sort of slowed down. But these kingdoms and regions are starting to develop in the north. It's the Kingdom of León, which stood out, at least during this period, as possibly the clear leader of the Christian kingdoms, though it's not the only one, as we know. It was officially created under García I in 910, though his successor, Ordoño II, took things to another level and really stuck it to the Moors for a few years there. Then there were several rulers early on, but the first to stand out was probably Ramiro II, known by the Moors or the Muslims as the Devil. And he reigned from 931 and consolidated León's position until his death in 951. Now, the problem with these times and these places that we're talking about, and you'll hear me mention this over and over, is that the infighting was just as bad, if not worse, than the fighting between the two traditional foes, the Christians and the Muslims. Take Ramiro's death, for example. He named his son Ordoño III to succeed him. This decision was challenged by Ordoño's own brother, Sancho I, known as Sancho the Fat. Ordoño spent much of his five-year reign fending off revolts and attacks by the Muslims and Christian rivals alike, and then he died in 956. Sancho took over, but the nobility of León, as well as the Count of Castile, Fernán González, we'll talk about him at a later time, opposed this choice and dethroned him in favor of Ordoño IV, who was actually the son of Alfonso IV, who had been king of León 20 years before. The reason given for this switch was that Sancho was too fat, extreme obesity. I'm not making this up, that's what they say. And according to the story, Sancho went to Córdoba. Yes, we are talking about the capital of Muslim Spain at the time, the supposed enemies of the Christians, where he met a doctor, an expert, and was subjected to a strict diet of infusions for 40 days. So he slimmed down pretty quickly. That apparently produced the desired effect. But that wasn't all. Sancho reached an agreement with the Muslims so that he and his troops from Navarra, up in the north in Pamplona, really, the kingdom of Pamplona, could help him reclaim his throne in León. He takes Zamora, the big town, beautiful place, and then León, and makes or forces Ordoño IV to flee. And then after that, Sancho turned on the Moors. So this was basically what it was like. It was sort of the order of the day here. It was constant. Family feuds, hereditary disputes, power struggles, manipulation, conspiracy, and treason. It was all going on, and all the time. It was crazy. But anyway, León sort of somewhat dominated the scene there. Also, Pamplona, the kingdom of Pamplona, which would eventually become Navarre, and to a lesser extent, Galicia, Asturias, and Castile, which wasn't a kingdom yet, and obviously Portugal, and the Catalan counties. Those are the ones that are sort of around during this century. But they weren't organized. And the Reconquista, as a consistently coordinated effort to push the Moors out, was still a distant dream. And in the south, Al-Andalus, or Islamic Spain, had become a new entity. Before, it was an emirate, or a kind of principality belonging to the Caliphate of Baghdad, but in 925, it turned into a caliphate in its own right, that is, sort of its own independent kingdom. The Caliphate of Cordoba would represent what many considered to be the acme, the highest point of Muslim Spain, not so much in terms of territorial control, but in terms of cultural and scientific eminence. It simply did not get any better than this. Cordoba reputedly stood at the foreground in many disciplines such as medicine and astronomy. Cordoba also knew how to flex its muscles and return to the glory, at least in some ways, to the glory days of the past, first under Abderrahman III, and later thanks to military achievements under the general Al-Mansur. Al-Mansur aspired to be the caliph, or the leader, or the king of the land, but he never managed to gain enough support, but he did do a very good job of terrorizing the Christian kingdoms, and to this day, he is remembered for his remarkable string of victories. He often acted, even though he wasn't the caliph, but he often acted as sort of the de facto leader, especially during times when the true caliph was too weak to perform his duties effectively. Al-Mansur proved a terror to the Christian kingdoms. One of his duties was to punish the caliphate's foes when they failed to pay tribute. Tributes were a popular way of controlling other territories. In other words, occupation was often costly in terms of economy and manpower, and it was often more advantageous to ask for money than to invade. And the weaker kingdoms often had no problem with it because at least they could still exist as independent lands. But if they didn't fork it over, if they failed to pay the tribute, well then the Muslims, the Moors, would go in and wreak havoc. Essentially, this was extortion. And Al-Mansur was the go-to guy when the regions failed to meet their side of the deal. And he conducted apparently no fewer than 56 campaigns, known as summer campaigns, the word is acefas, over a 25-year period in the final years of the 10th century, from about 975 to 1002. And during these raids, no region was spared. All across the northern third of Spain, from Barcelona to Zaragoza, to Pamplona, to Burgos, to Toledo, Salamanca, Zamora, León, and finally the infamous attack on the spiritual center of Christian Spain, Santiago de Compostela, in 997. And this mighty warrior thrashed the forces and his foes. He destroyed entire cities. Pamplona in 999 was left in tatters. Now, he often did this with the help of his allies in Al-Andalus and also with the support of the political enemies within these regions. The Kingdom of León's constant infighting, as I was telling you before, proved especially beneficial to this fearless and savvy general's objectives. This seemingly unstoppable warrior was finally put into check by his own fate, the same for everyone, death. It took place in the beautiful town of Medinaceli in the province of Soria at the age of 65, from what seems to be unknown, but it was some kind of disease. Now, historians modified this unceremonious decline and for centuries claimed that his ultimate demise came as a result of a devastating loss to Christian forces at the Battle of Calatañazor, another very pretty village, by the way, a confrontation which never took place. So that's untrue. With the death of Almanzor, the political instability of Al-Andalus would worsen, and the decline of the Caliphate of Cordoba would accelerate until its disappearance in 1031, about 30 years later. The Caliphate would break up until about 30 smaller territories known as Taifas, T-A-I-F-A-S, and we'll tell you more about them at a different time. The Christian kingdoms would continue to squabble and fight for dominance in the area. León would slowly begin to fade, as it never seemed to really achieve that stability it needed. Asturias and Galicia would continue to exist, but slowly lose importance. And the kingdom of Pamplona, or Navarre, would persevere, sometimes adopting a more prominent role and sometimes lurking in the background. In the early years of the 10th century, two regions would begin to emerge as the major role players for the next couple of centuries, and let's face it, the future of Spain itself, Castile and Aragon. And the Reconquista, after decades of savage, unceasing battling with untold setbacks, was going to begin to reach a new phase, a stage of greater organization and more effective progress. And as for Al-Andalus, as I told you before, if you thought life was complicated enough for the Moors under one political entity, the Caliphate of Cordoba, you can only imagine the chaos that would ensue once they formed 30 different states, and many of them postage stamps in size. But anyway, there are still plenty of surprises in store for them and for the rest of Spain. But that, my friends, will be for another day, because there's a lot to tell and the fun is just getting going. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments, because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Castos. If you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We really work hard to provide as much information and culture and history for you as possible. You can do this by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out at Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.